Benny. We're in the... This is an odd message for me to deliver today. You're going to turn to the book of Genesis, and what we're going to do is we're going to walk through a series of verses and end up in Acts. Different type of lesson. We want to look at a force of nature that is illustrative of the unseen movement of God, the Holy Spirit, and how it applies in our life. We're going to use an example in the book of Acts that is, I think, it quite well defines the principle we want to get across. And we'll start in the book of Genesis, chapter number 8. Now, as you know, I've been working, some of you might know, but I've been working a distant job, commuting, into Massachusetts the last few weeks. And there were two questions that were answered to me that I was, one morning, it was quite humorous to me. I'll share with you just a lot of questions going through my mind, but two of them that I'll share with you because it's proper. I was asking God what he had me to preach this week. One or two lessons. And I was also asking God, struggling with, things that were, I felt, wounding and crippling internally to me that I was disturbed by. And as I was riding on the highway, somebody else was driving, I was riding on the passenger side. The wind was beating against the window, and it was flapping and blowing and vibrating against the glass that my head was leaning against. And then immediately I saw a paraphrased version of Ephesians 4, which says, "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And it kind of just, it jolted me. As it was immediate. It was right after I was not complaining to God, but kind of complaining to God. So I got this response, which is kind of a, it's an addendum to the 77 deal that Jesus told Peter, forgive him 70 times 7. The Lord said, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, that's a whole lot more than 70 times 7. We're supposed to forgive others the way Christ has forgiven us. So when Christ forgives you, does he forgive you of everything? It's like, whoa, okay, I got it. And so somehow or another, it kind of merged with the two lessons that were, I was battling over what the Lord would have me to speak, the way it all came together. And right in front of me, it was a reminder of the gospel message and its intent to be uplifting. It's a message of hope for the whole earth, not just for me, for everybody. And so I'm like, well, gee, God, why don't other people know about this? Why don't other people get this? And it was clear to me it was the same reason that I forgot about it. My belief. Letting things and problems in the world look, be right here in front of me and God on the other side of that. You can't see God through those other things because he's invisible. So you got to put him in front of it, even though he's already in front of it. And by faith, you could see those things which are invisible. That's what Moses, the Bible said Moses did. And so now we're going to go through this topic, and you'll see how that illustration somehow or another ties together with this lesson. Beginning in Genesis chapter 8, here's the first mention of this word. As a matter of fact, it's the first mention of a series of words, and the book of Genesis has all type of first mentions of words. And there's a rule in the Bible called, regarding studying the Bible, it's called the law of first mention. Generally, things hold true the first time God uses a word or a topic based on that word. So in Genesis chapter 8, which has to do with new beginnings, resurrections. Genesis 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah and every living thing. This was after the flood. And all, you believe in the flood, brother? Yes, I do. Amen. And all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Now, there's three words in this verse right here, right together. And God made a wind to pass over. God, wind, Passover. Whoa. It's interesting to me. Because I was just looking at the word wind. It's the first time you find it here. But there's this incredible triple combination of God, we've got the Father, the wind. Who's the wind type of in the Bible? Passover. Who would that be type of? Wow. He remembered. Just so happens that Noah's ark settles on Mount Ararat the same day that Christ rises from the dead. Interesting. And the earth and the waters, and it's the first time you find this word, assuaged. Bubba, that's just a cool word. You don't have to know what it means. It's like, I love that word. If that word could be a stuffed animal, I'd buy it. Assuaged. Come on. Is that a cool word? Assuaged. It has to do with relieving something, turning something negative into something positive. I like that word. There you're finding the God, the wind, and Passover. Here you find this thing, God does this. And he passes over the earth. So now let's continue through some verses. Look at the book of Job, which is right before Psalms, which is in the middle of the Bible. So we're going to look at the wind in a little bit different way. A little different way. 1963 album by a man called Bob Dylan. Anybody heard Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Some older people in here. First on the track list of that album is a song called "Blowing in the Wind." Look at it Job chapter 7. So we're going to look at some. This is a topical study on this word. Just mention some things as we read through the verses, and then we're going to park in the book of Acts, chapter 3. But I think we should pray before we continue. Father, help us recognize wind, God, Passover. Incredible combination. First time used, all three together. And then it assuages. The judgment that you sent upon this earth because of sin. Help us recognize how this parallels and can apply into our life. I would ask in Christ's name for his glory. Amen. So in the book of Job, chapter number 7, look at this in verse number 7. Oh, remember that my life is what? Most people think of themselves as a body. Most people emphasize who they are by what they see in a mirror or what they possess. And they simply do not comprehend you live inside your body. Why don't they know that? The same reason you forget that. Unbelief. Now look at this in Job chapter number 8, verse number 2. How long wilt thou speak these things, and how shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong what? Every time you speak, winds coming out of your mouth. Whose spirit came from thee, the Bible says in another place in Job. How long should, so you're seeing words associated with wind. In the book of Job, chapter number 26, I think it is. There it is right there. So 26:4. To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Do you see the correlation there? When you drive by a billboard and you see words and pictures, there's a spirit coming off of that and coming into you more than a body. You live inside your body. Okay? There's a wind coming off of that. Spirits coming off of that. When people are speaking on a show or a movie or any environment, wind is coming out and it's entering into one of the orifices of your body that allow input. And so what you've got here, I want you to see the association of words. Now look at Job 37. Then we'll turn to Psalms. Job 37. Job 37, verse number 17. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. We usually associate that with springtime. South winds, or not nor'easters. You know, mm-hmm. Something coming from the south up. Quiet. You know, the anthem in nature. Every spring season is blossoming forth with things that illustrate resurrection, new life. It's just refreshing. South winds. Remember that. It's going to become a little bit clearer as we go through this. Now look in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1. The ungodly are not so, but I just want you to see that it's very clear now. We're focusing on this word, wind. It has to do with words. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. It has to do with life. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So you're gonna get something, you're gonna toss it up in the air, and when you harvest wheat or something, you mash it all up, you toss it up, and the wind blows away the garbage. The wind blows away the chaff. Okay? That's what God does in your life all the time. The wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou knowest not whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He's working in your life, he's going to use wind and the beating down of the wheat and the harvesting so the chaff can get blown away. That's what he does. Look at it in Psalms chapter number 78. I'm talking about God with Israel in the wilderness. He caused an east wind. Now, whenever you talk about east winds or north winds, it's the direction the wind is coming from, its source. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens. Blowing in the wind. And by his power, he brought in the south wind. But an east wind to blow in the heavens. Now look at it in Psalms 103. That was Psalms 78:26. I want to get you to this point. I want to get you to the point that the wind is universal. It's over the earth. You know, God caused the wind to pass over the earth. The message of the gospel is meant to blow around the whole earth. And people hear it. And they know about it, but they don't know how to interpret it because they don't have the context of the Bible that gives them the proper light of interpreting it correctly. John Dillon sang a song, Blowing in the Wind. You've heard that thing, haven't you? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in. Without the context of the Bible, you cannot grasp God, the wind, pass over. What a wonderful book we have. I love the Word of God. It gives me a sound mind. You may think I'm crazy. Let not go there.
Never mind.
Psalms 103. Verse number 16. Oh, it's so good to be saved. And I got saved, it's like, man, it's right in front of me all the time. I didn't know how to interpret why I exist. Psalms 103, verse number 16. For the wind passeth over it. Is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. What's he talking about? Look at verse 12 and verse 11 and 12. As the heaven is high above the earth, now that would be a vertical line. See? The heaven high above the earth. And so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west. Now that would be a horizontal line. So if you got a vertical line and you got a horizontal line, it's going to look something like this. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Pretty good, isn't it? Verse 16, for the wind passeth over it. It is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Look in the book of Psalms, chapter number 104. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. Talking about God and God's domain. God does anything. He does. He's all over the place. Who maketh the clouds his chariot. Did you ever look at the clouds and just get a sense of majesty? Who maketh the clouds his chariot. I see you. Now this is what I want. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. What animal in the Bible would you say that the Holy Spirit is illustrated by? The dove. On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love. A sign from above. Where? On the wings of a dove. See, you couldn't know that without the context of the Bible. But everybody knows that the dove symbolizes peace. Why? Why? That's the Bible. You can't get it, man, unless you know the Bible. You know that a dove, when it begins flight and ends flight, it's always with a whistle. You know the bird. And right before it starts, right before it stops, the wind cut. There you go. Exactly what it is. Am I right, brother? See? The wings of a dove. It's whistling. Amen. Praise the Lord. Claps when it takes off. It's cooing and it's wooing. Nesting and resting. They say doves are one of the only birds that they stay together for life. When they mate. Pairs for life. Sealed! Till the day of redemption. By what? You see to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. So you wouldn't know that if you didn't have the context of the Bible to understand it. What a wonderful, incredible book we have. Look at the book of Psalms, chapter number 135, verse 7. Is it good to be saved? Yeah. Verse 7 of Psalms 135. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasury. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Our spirit has been joined to his spirit. When you get born again of the Holy Spirit by the wind that bloweth where it listeth, your spirit, like the wind, is joined to his spirit. Like the wind, he puts his treasures inside of you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Talking about Jesus Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you wouldn't know that if you didn't know the context of the Bible. Psalms 147, verse 18. See, that's why Paul, in the book of Romans, he said the invisible things of him are seen through the creation of the world. Even his eternal power and Godhead. All of creation is a signature of God. Every time
Alfred Hitchcock make a movie,
he has to have a cameo appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody's watching the whole movie to find out where Alfred, there he is right there. See? Or a shadow against the wall. God doesn't have a cameo appearance, God just is all over. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Just people don't see it. Did you know Jesus Christ was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to you before you got saved? No, you didn't. Do you know it now that you are saved?
Yes.
Do you ever forget it?
No.
Sometimes some things in your life may temporarily cause you to forget it, unfortunately. Look in Psalms chapter number, did I go 147? I did.
Yeah.
Look in the book of Ecclesiastes. Right after Psalms, his problems, and then Ecclesiastes. And he shows us a relationship with the circuits of the wind and the sun. Because all wind is the movement of air. And there's two main factors in the path and movement of air that creates wind. One has to do with light, sunlight, that creates heat, which rises and sinks. Cold air. Cold air is going to be, the air is going to come down. If you have radiators, usually they're down below. Hot air rises, cold air sinks, and they just, they move. See? Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6. And the other is the movement of the earth. The circumstantial movement. Wherever you happen to be on the earth, and the light, that has to do with the wind that you're experiencing in your life right now. And there's wind all over the planet. And if you let God show you and maintain the context of the Word of God and interpreting what's going on in the invisible molecular world of the wind, you could parallel it to how God, the Holy Ghost, is working in your life. God, the wind passes over. A swash. So he says in when he said that, when he Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse 5 and 6. See, when we just read that last verse in Psalms, might have just passed by. He said, he causeth his wind to blow. He sendeth out his word. He causeth his wind to blow. I don't know if I read that verse to you. That was Psalms 147, verse 18. See, it's his word, his wind, his word to blow. Okay?
Pretty
cool. But in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually. Those are circuits. And the wind returneth again. We're only just beginning to discover the phenomena of weather and its patterns. We can't pinpoint it because it's like it has a mind of its own. Amen? It's not as though it's purely random. It's based on laws and decrees that God has established, uniting all things together, working all together with the light and the sun and circumstances and weights and balances, and all happening together. The wind's moving in your life right where you are with the purpose of God, in hopes that you'll interpret contextually with the Bible. What's he doing right now in my life? Get in his book. Ask God the Holy Ghost to show you. And I know he's going to swash. He's going to show you something about Jesus Christ in you. Because he joins you to that spirit that you're not aware of. But he says, the wind returneth again according to a circuit. In verse 5, the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down. See, there's two circuits, the light and the wind. They interact. The wind follows the light. It's really interesting, really cool. Now look in the book of Acts chapter 2. And I quoted you how when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ says, when you're born again, it's like the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Knoweth not whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. But you know that it has certain laws
that it follows.
It has a circuit, it has a pattern. It's always following that light of the sun. And it's interacting in your life based on how your circumstances are turning you around. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to be talking in Acts 3. I'm going to show you a couple verses in Acts. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse 2. Now, this is the first time you find this. The
book of Acts is the history of the church. And it begins with the wind.
And there's no more mention of the wind. And then it ends with the wind. Okay? Beginning and the end. Whistles. It whistles. Beginning and the end. In between that, it's cooing and it's wooing. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. What was that? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the charismatics get caught up in this. They all want to talk in languages they don't understand and misuse and abuses. That's a perverted wind. whose spirit came from thee. Yeah. Not all winds are God's winds. Amen. There's a wind that Jesus Christ rebuked, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost wind. You read about that in the Gospels. There are spirits that you can't see that are also trying to influence your life. People don't believe in the spiritual world. You're crazy. You're sitting on something that's made of mostly empty space. You don't believe in the spiritual world. You can't see it. And that's Acts 2. That's the beginning. Now you get to the end, looking at Acts chapter 28. First whistle. Last whistle. The entire book of Acts is intended to be demonstrative of the history of the church that follows in our study of Revelation 2 and 3. We're seeing the movement of the seven spirits of God in all the churches. Am I right? We just finished studying that. Acts chapter 28. The Spirit of God's movement. Wind. Huh. Acts chapter 28. Look at the last mention here, verse number 13. Acts 28, verse 13. See the last chapter? And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium, and after one day the south wind blew. There's that gentle wind. And we came the next day to Puteoli. Or something like that. And so what I want to do is now let's go to Acts 3, because the first instance in this pattern follows. There's a circuit. The wind is, it's a pattern. Follows the light. The wind, God sends a wind, the east wind from heaven. The wind travels east to west. What is the path of light of the sun? It rises in the what? And it sets in the what? West. There's a pattern. So you'll find this pattern moving through the book of Acts. So all we're going to do is look at the first instance of what takes place after the day of Pentecost. And the purpose, intention of gift of tongues isn't so everybody can sit in a church and start babbling in languages. Nobody understands. So they feel, no, the purpose is evangelization. It's to reach out to the whole world. In Acts chapter number 3. People can't get it. They don't see it. They don't understand it. Now Peter and John went up. Here's the wind now. That wind, that mighty rushing wind that filled them, is going to carry, it's going to blow through them all the way through the book of Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. It's a Jewish temple. Remember how Jesus Christ had destroyed this temple and in 3 days I'll rise it up? They thought he was talking about the temple of Herod, the building. No, he was talking about the temple of his body, this temple, not that temple. So here we're talking about the temple, the physical temple in Israel, which is going to be destroyed 30 or 40 years from this period of history. It was destroyed by Titus, 70 A.D. So now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour.
That's somewhere around
3 o'clock p.m. our time. And a certain man, you're not told who he is. You're not told who his name is. You are told who he is. He's a very specific individual. A certain person of male gender. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Bunch of people carrying him, and whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, this is the first time we find this gate. The city of Jerusalem has a gate around; it's bordered, and then the temple is inside the city of Jerusalem, and it's walled and stuff inside of that. But there's the wall on the eastern side. See, if you were looking at a map, you have what's called the Mount of Olives right here, where Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven. It's on the east of Jerusalem and the temple. So you have to travel east to west, and you have to go through a gate to get there, which would be the eastern gate. That's what it's
here it's called something else. That's where Jesus Christ walked through when he rode an ass in the fold of an ass triumphant in Jerusalem. That's where Christ is going to return and go through when he comes and lands on the Mount of Olives and cleaves this valley of Kidron and walks through that gate right there. So you're going east. So what you see, there's a pattern. That's what you're seeing here. There's a pattern. How God. So he's going through here. And as you're getting ready, there's John and Peter and John. They're going through this gate called Beautiful. And there's a fellow there that was pitied. This smelly, stinky, probably unkept, unwashed, person that you don't want to really hang around with. It's not the kind of guy you tell your advise your daughter to marry, not that kind of guy. And He's laying there. He's not a paraplegic. So he can move and he can talk, but he can't move his legs. So he's kind of just limp. He's laying. He's just sitting there like this. What's he doing? He's begging for money. And, beggars, they know where to go to get money at certain times of the year. You go to certain places, certain restaurants, you'll get more money, maybe groom yourself a little better. Yeah, there's always a certain face you wear. He knows he's a beggar. He's been a beggar all his life. Turns out this guy is about 40 years old. None of you or I have a lot in life that's even close to that, do we? He does. And he's at this gate called Beautiful to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, you try to picture this guy, and it's like, what a bummer to be born in those circumstances. There's a lot of people born like that, live in that type of environment. But he had enough hope that if God was going to do something in his life and show mercy, it was going to be at the gate Beautiful. And nobody understood. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. And here come John and Peter. They take off. They're walking to him. He's like, wait a minute. Stop! He doesn't understand what's about to take place. He's like, what just happened?
We don't know.
He couldn't discern the voice of God that was getting ready to reach out to him at this gate called Beautiful. You see, there is an answer, my friend. Blowing in the wind. Say, what's that? The gate called Beautiful. There's a gate called Beautiful. Yes, there's a gate called Beautiful, also known as the Eastern Gate. East-West. It's God that directed from heaven. He was born this way in verse number 2. It's called Beautiful. To ask God of him to enter in from his mother's womb. He's carried, born this way. It's not because this isn't karma and some resurrected life of judgment because he did something bad when he was in a previous life. That's all nonsense. He was born this way. Jesus, John 15, answers that quite definitively if you want to study that karma business of reincarnation. There's no fault of his own. It happened to be his particular circumstances in life and where he found himself. We all have a sad story to sing. Let me tell you right now, this man has some real reasons to gripe. He's not griping. The problem comes in when you see your life like this and you become despondent because your destiny seems fixed and you can't get out of this, and yet he still has a little bit of hope. It's just a little bit of hope, maybe, just here, right here, I'm at this gate called Beautiful, that somebody, somewhere, somehow, God will guide to show mercy on me. That's what he's doing. And he's shaking it, he just wants a little bit of money. And he doesn't realize there's a weak point directing them to come here. He sees Peter and John go into the temple, about to go into the temple. So it's as though they were going to just, walk right over. And he asked an alms. He said, can you spare
you know,
back then it was
probably a, you know, a penny or a nickel. Today it's like $1 or $5. I mean, that's what I'm getting anyway when I go to gas stations, what have you, inflation. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. So here's Peter, you know, gruff and rough, he's a tough guy. And he,
look on us. Okay. What else do you want me to do?
And he gave heed unto them. Okay. What was he expecting to receive? Money. Okay. The answer, my friend, is blowing the wind. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ. Took him by the right hand. Let me see. North, south, east, east, west. North, south, east. Took him by the right hand. Took him by the right hand and said, stand up and lifted him up. It's as though, what just happened?
And immediately.
It's a miracle. If you can't walk ever since you were born, your muscles become atrophied. There you go. Your bones haven't developed. And a full-grown body. Just give you little legs to the atrophy. And then he just stands up. And he doesn't, you know, stagger. He stands. Glory! And he starts leaping for joy. And so would you!
Amen.
It was real to you. Why don't you? Why don't other people? Why don't you? I believe. And his Bible says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Leaping up, stood. And entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Wow. What's happened? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's all around us. Even the word of faith. You don't have to ascend to heaven, to ascend to hell. The word of faith, which we preach all around. God's not hiding it from people. They're hiding from him. Watch as we go through this story. And you'll see. Not everybody wants what the wind is blowing in their direction.
You got Muslims
that believe they own the Temple Mount. They believe because they read the, you know, portions of the Bible. They believe the first five books of the Old Testament, the first five books of the New, four books of the New Testament, bits and pieces of Psalms, so on and so forth. They choose what they believe. Just like lots of people from the Bible. I don't like that. I don't believe that. I believe the whole thing. But anyways, they have a problem where it talks about the Messiah coming back, and Ezekiel prophesies the Messiah is going to come through the east gate into the temple. So they said, well, gee, we own the Temple Mount. You know what we'll do? We'll put a cemetery right here on the eastern side of the temple. So they can't, no holy man, if he's Jewish, he's not going to walk over a cemetery, dead bodies, and then go to the eastern gate, also called the gate called Beautiful. There's a gate. Jesus Christ is wide is the way that leads on to destruction. Broad is the way that leads on to destruction. Narrow is the way. And something is the gate. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. No. That leadeth unto life. And few there be that found it. I found it!
Yes.
There's a gate called Beautiful. The Bible says beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. I found it! Jesus Christ died for my sins, glory to God.
Amen.
He's buried and he rose again. Praise the Lord. I found it. Beautiful. There's a gate. Come on. There is a gate. Well, that temple is destroyed. Now, this temple is mine. That temple. This temple is a part of that body. I found it. I found the way. This is why I exist. To know him. To walk and leap and praise him. How about you? You still just
stopping, existing, letting people carry you to church. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He doesn't have to walk over there, Debbie. He's going to send an earthquake. Things are going to split. And they're all going to go, boom, boom. He's going to walk right across. Excuse me. He's got the whole thing figured out. He's a holy man like nobody knows. He's a holy man. Amen. What you come to church expecting?
A lot of people go to church expecting
a token cup of change. Okay. I'm not going to drop the F-bomb quite as much this week as I did last week. I'm gonna rip up the real dirty triple quadruple X magazines. Not the single and double. Till next week, if I come back. Just a token cup of change. That's not why you're here. You came because you're lame.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Aren't you hearing?
Maybe because you don't believe. So the words from God's book, you know, black and white, I think it makes gray the color of dove's eyes, looking at you, are penetrating, not letting in. Silly, lonely, pathetic token of religious love at its best. Jesus isn't just a Christmas fairy tale or an Easter fable. He's not an idol that stands idle or a statue that dumps out statutes. Amen, Brother John. I'm come that you might have life. You might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Eternal life, his life. There is a gate called, glory to God, beautiful. I'm going to show you this. Look in Isaiah chapter 52. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, why is he called beautiful? Well, the Bible says there's no beauty that we should desire him.
Right.
Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse 2. He shall grow up before, just talking about Jesus Christ, it's a prophecy, an incredible prophecy of the Messiah coming to the world to die for as a substitution for our sins. You owe a debt, he's willing to pay for it. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. And yet the message of Christ is all on every Christmas, every Easter, every day of every week, of every month, of every year is dated on the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, 2017, in the year of our Lord. And yet, you don't see it. Nobody sees it. Nobody understands it because they don't interpret it in the context of the Bible. This is why you exist. But it says there's no beauty. This gate called beautiful. And when you jump in, when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire. So you jump down to verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. To put him to grief on the cross. To bruise him. To put him to grief on the cross. Where his beard is plucked out. Whipped and beaten and mocked and spit upon and stripped naked. Pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's the beauty. He sees what he's about to accomplish on the cross. And there's a gate called beautiful. It's not because you go to it, it's like, oh, that's pretty. Look at the hinges on that thing, the wood, the architecture. Wow, that thing is beautiful. Jesus Christ, you're walking through this. I can walk through here because of what he did on Calvary. Vertical, horizontal, the cross, as far as the east is from the west. That's what he did with my sins. Praise the Lord. There is a gate called beautiful. The world can't interpret it. They don't get it. They don't recognize there's something about that name. There's power in that name. There's boldness in that name. There's encouragement in that name. There's something uplifting about that name. There's something strengthening about that name. It assuages you. Amen? The name Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance that follows the rain. Swash, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching for you and for, well, people see it, the answer, because they don't interpret in the context of the Bible who Jesus Christ is. He's just some guy, you know, shut down my throat since I was a kid, amen? He's a cooing and a wooing, Jesus is. He's a cooing and a wooing, Jesus is. He's a cooing and a wooing, about time you started chewing. He's a cooing and a wooing, Jesus is. Amen, Brother John. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus, I would, than riches untold. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. Do you know these words to these songs? They always existed before I got saved, but it wasn't until I got saved that I recognized the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. There is a name I love to sing, I love to sing, it's worth it. Sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how all they did was preach the name of Jesus. You see, there is a gate called Beautiful. It's Jesus, man. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Wait a minute. What a friend we have in Buddha. What a friend we have in Mohammed. What a friend we have in Charles Darwin. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad. See, why can't you see this? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Teach your cult children this song. Jesus. All the children of the world.
And
we're united. Amen. Let me give you the second point. The wind. The wind. Do you hear it? I know the answer. The answer is yes. What do you mean? Yes, there is a gate. Oh, beautiful. I know the answer. What's the answer? Now. What do you mean? Now is the day of salvation. Now. Say, what do you mean? Now. Are you living your Christian life like you're still crippled as a lame people? You know that people capitalize, you know, on your malady? You know, dependent and I'm so dependent, codependent. See, I'm not a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N. Let me tell you something. Jesus died for our sins. That the sin bearer, our God, he didn't rise again. I would want nothing to do with him. Amen. Because he was a liar if he didn't rise again.
Right.
And destroyed this temple in 3 days. I'll rise up. Somebody come. Rise up
And will anybody ever see a potter, a master potter, how a potter works and spins, whatever circumstances you're in? But you know what a potter does when he holds the wind? You know what a potter does is that clay spins? Does he squash it down? He's constantly doing things. Will you cut the turkey cloth? They squash.
Why don't you know this? Why do you know this? Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's unbelief. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. Let's get this last point done. Stay with me. Acts chapter number 3. Look at what happens. And what happens? He's leaping and walking and praising. Rise up and walk. They immediately go to Solomon's porch in verse number 11. People ran together on them. The porch is called. So there's one wiser and greater than Solomon. They're preaching about it. They want to know, how'd you do this? How'd you do this? How'd you make this man walk? And he tells them verse 16. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong.
Amen.
It's his name, through faith in his name. Whose name? Jesus. See, people know the name of Jesus. They have no idea that people are still in slavery. Christian! Don't let people, do you know, don't take it the wrong way. The world will allow you, and if you let them shape you like the potter, to suppress Christianity, they'll allow it and tolerate it if it remains lame, insecure, dependent, religious. Oh, they're going to take away our tax-exempt status if we don't marry homosexuals. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? You're not going to marry homosexuals. Amen. Because it's wrong. If we don't tolerate and allow transgender bathroom in our church, what are we going to do? You're not going to allow a transgender bathroom in your church, amen? Well, what are we going to do if we don't teach evolution? What do you mean, what are you going to do? You're not going to teach evolution in your church, amen? You're going to teach the Word of God. Let the wind bring it where the wind brings it. You know what they say about slavery? And the slaves, the old Negro spirituals. I heard about a southern black lady. She said, "Son, if the mountains are smooth, you can't climb them." Well, you don't have to climb them. Faith says move them. But the Negro spirituals are written, if you don't realize it, on the black notes of the piano. They didn't come here from Africa knowing do re mi fa sol la ti do. What do they call that? The pentatonic scale with the five black notes. And almost all your Negro spirituals are based on those. They're playing with those notes. One of the most popular ones is the words by a man called John Newton, who was a slave captain. But he used the melody and the song of music. He wrote the words, but he used the music from an unknown slave melody. You know it? Amazing. See, he was set free. And this is troublesome to me. Why Christians don't write. So what you have is you've got the white and the black on every page of this book. They harmonize in Christ. It's all the same. It doesn't matter to God. Amen. We make a big deal. There's so much emphasis on color and difference. It's a lame excuse not to love your brother, your sister. You see, now look at this in verse chapter number 4, because here's the other people. You got to get a hold of this. Verse 7, when they had sent him in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter responds, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but the name of Jesus, it's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Verse 12, "There's not salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Let me tell you something right now. You get sick by any other must than the must in the Bible. Amen? That's a healthy must. Except Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Now look at verse 17 and 18. Here they come again. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Something about that name. For me, there's something about that name. For them, there's something about that name. You got to get a hold of this. You got to understand this.
they know. See, the answer. The answer, my friend.
Woo!
The answer is blowing in the wind.
They can't decipher contextually what God is trying to tell them. I'm telling you, the name, dude, the name. And finally they spit it out in verse number 18. And they called them and commanded them,
you better not speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus.
You see, it's at the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to... They got to say it. They don't want to say it. You see, there's another wind. You've got to understand. You've got to get a hold of this. We're coming to an end. There's a poem that says, whichever way the wind doth blow, some heart is glad to have it so. It doesn't blow east or blow it west. The wind that blows, that wind is best. Not all the time. Let's see which way the wind blows. Careful. Let's first see which wind is blowing. Because you can't adjust the wind, but you can adjust your sails. Jesus Christ had to rebuke him. You realize that the highest a kite will go is when it's pulled and held contrary to the wind. Sometimes you gotta hold on contrary to the wind. Which wind? Not the wind of the Holy Spirit. See, there is a gate called Beelzebub. Beautiful. Yes. Now, rise up and walk. This is what's pathetic. Because there's a whole lot of people that liked you better before you got saved. Not in my case. But I believe in your case, at least some of you. There's people that don't want a cure for cancer. They don't want you to be whole from cancer. Why? Because how it would affect them. Ka-ching, 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 times 10 billion. Oh, you don't like that. There's people that don't want an alternative to vaccination. Do whatever you want. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. There's people that want you to stay low income and never get off of welfare. They want you to be dependent on them. You stay right here, certain man. You stay here and need. That's what religion is. You stay right here and depend on us.
That's right.
You depend on us. You come and confess your sins to us. You give your money to us. You devote your life to us.
That's what they want.
People did that. You reversed it. Jesus Christ said. The message is, rise up and walk again. You're free. You're independent. You're independent from me. That's what he wants. That's the purpose and the teaching of the yoke. See, there's an answer. Blowing in the wind. I realize how sad at times people may be. Discouraged, depressed, ungrateful, unthankful, doubting, frightened, bitter. Angry, blaming God, or whatever else you might be playing. Doesn't matter. It's the world wants you to think a certain way so that you stay down. Whenever you're down and you're staying down, you haven't risen up. Father, you're not lame anymore. That lame game. The fragrance of flowers travels in the direction of the wind.
And you may not like this, but I'm going to say it.
Because when the devil passes wind, he doesn't have the same fragrance as God. God, wind passes over us.
Lord, oh, bless, please.
Change his image, something we're transformed into by the wonderful work of the Holy Ghost and our submission by faith and his precious word, all because of the blood he shed at Calvary and the resurrected living God. As you said, why sit here living among the dead? Thank you that it's over. Help us to recognize it and realize it as his day comes, we'll be challenged, Father, with many spirits and winds. Help us to realize that there's an answer blowing the wind and interpret our circumstances in the light and context of the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother.